Hey guys, welcome. We're your hosts, Amy Keeble and Haley Young. Our heart is to encourage you, add joy to your life, and be a small reminder that you're not in this crazy motherhood journey alone. We have each other, and most importantly, we have God every moment, every day. This is our village.
Hi, Haley. How are you?
I'm good, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, well, we both just said we're good, but we're both recovering from a little bit of a colder virus.
Yes, that is true.
In the last couple of days.
Whole families. Well, for us, it's been nearly a week and a half, but we went to church yesterday. The boys were well enough to be like, okay, yep, they don't have drooping noses. So I'm very happy to be on the tail end of it. Yes. But you guys aren't quite there yet.
Oh, well, I really thought that we were. And then Blair just keeps getting like every day he'll get hit with like real achy fatigue, which is another reason why I was convinced it was COVID, but it's just not.
Yeah.
And then Charlie, who I thought we got it from, because he hasn't been sick this whole like week and a half, and he had had hand, foot and mouth a couple of weeks ago. So I was like, well, we must just have a different version of what he had or something. But then last night he started coughing. So I was like, what? Either he's got it again or it's a totally different virus and we've just had multiple viruses at the same time.
Yeah, but it's going around. And if you're like any of our friends, like those listening, you or probably your friends have had something too. Well, if you're in Melbourne, I don't know about the rest of the country or the rest of the world. It's a lot.
It's one of those times.
Yeah. And then, like, mind you, we won't go into this too much. I'm like, I would rather have this than what a lot of other people are suffering or going through at the moment. Yeah. So,
It's full on out there, that's for sure.
It is. It is. And if there's anyone that needs prayer for their situations or needs to chat, please reach out to us through social media or
messenger somewhere.
Yeah.
We would love to pray for you.
Please do. Yeah. Absolutely. So this week, I was about to say, I'm the star of the show.
Well, you are. One of them.
Yeah. This week, we're on to our next part of the series of going from one kid to two kids. And you, Amy, interview Jacinta and myself.
I do, yeah. It was really fun to actually hear from Hayley and have her as one of the guests as well. So it hopefully will bring a nice extra layer to host Hayley being interviewed on her experience. And Jacinta joining us was such a blessing as well. She's a beautiful mama of two beautiful little girls. And she's been such a strong supporter of the podcast over the years too. So we were very excited that she was willing to join us and share a little bit about her journey as well.
And what we didn't realize was that our stories were quite similar.
Oh, yes.
So totally want to recognize that the way we parent and our experience going into two is not everyone's story or preference.
Yeah.
As we were getting through the chat, we're like, whoa, things are, like not in a bad way at all. It was just we just are quite similar in our parenting styles and in the experience and even the age gap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was funny.
Yes, it's not everyone's experience. And there's so many contributing factors like age gap, the type of baby you have, everything, the circumstances that you're in at the time. So if this was not your story, I hope it's still encouraging to listen to, but we really do recognize that it's not everyone's journey.
Yeah. And I think it's probably worth saying as well across the board for this series, like our heart behind it was to hear from mums and hear their journey and share with the purpose of sharing basically that everybody has a different journey, but in some ways we're also, you know, in the same, what's that quote you said?
Oh, that I said wrong.
we're all in the same storm, but different boats. We're in the same boat, but different storms. I think we're in the same storm, but we're in different boats and there's something beautiful that connects us through that. And so that's really the heart behind the podcast in general, I guess, but this series, especially to hear from different people and appreciate their journey and pray that there can be encouragement, whether it's been similar to yours, totally different to yours, you're not even a mum, whatever, like whatever, whatever the situation may be, we do pray it's an encouragement and trust it. Even when stories might be so different to your own, it can, God can use it to bring out something for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So enjoy this beautiful chat with two beautiful mamas.
Well, today we have the beautiful Jacinta Burnt joining us, and we also are going to be hearing from Hayley too. So Hayley and Jacinta are going to share a little bit with us about the process of going from one child to two children And this is going to be the next episode in our series. Thank you for being with us. Would you like to start by just maybe telling us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. I'm Jacinta, obviously. I'm married to Cam, and we have two little girls, Alyssa, who's 2.5, and Zoe, who's 7 months now, but is about the size of a toddler. So.
Hayley knows that.
I know Hayley knows that.
I feel like we're quite similar, like your boys are like a month ahead of our girls.
Yeah, two boys, two girls, similar ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Before I was a mum and a bit in between, I am a speech pathologist working exclusively with preschoolers at the moment, which I do love my job, but I love being a mum more. So I'm not racing to get back or anything.
Mm-hmm. So you did a little bit of work between having the two girls, did you?
Yeah, it was a bit bizarre because I went back so March 2020 and then COVID just took over the world. And so I think I was back on site for 3 weeks and then worked at home for, I don't know, months and months and months. Mm-hmm. And like working with preschoolers over the equivalent of Zoom was
not easy.
Just a hilarious experience.
That's a good point.
Just like run away and be like, oh, I'm going to go get something to show you. It's like, okay. I can do nothing about that.
Half an hour later. Wow, that must have been so hard.
Yeah, it was good for being pregnant. Mm. So when I got pregnant with Zoe, I was working in grandma's bedroom, and when I got really tired or nauseous in between appointments, obviously, I just like lie on her bed for a bit. So definitely had some perks.
Yes.
Mm. It's always good, I think, to be able to identify the perks in such a strange and overwhelming situation. So perfect for being a pregnant lady trying to work, that's for sure.
Yeah, yep.
And we do have to say thank you so much for being a loyal listener.
Oh, yes.
We are very grateful for you.
Absolutely.
No, thanks for making it. Like, I love learning from other people's stories. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always loved reading biographies and things like that. There's just something so powerful about someone's story. There are certain things that some people have said in the interviews that have really stuck with me and been a big encouragement, or have actually changed the way that I've done certain things. And so thank you for, you know, contributing to my personal growth.
Absolutely, our pleasure. Absolutely. Mm. And really the heart behind exactly why we do this. So today we're going to chat a little bit about, like I said, the transition that you guys went through going from having one child into having two children. Would you like to start by maybe just telling us what it was like having your first baby and what that experience was?
Yeah, sure. So I was very keen to be a mum. I'd wanted to have a baby long before we actually did, and it took a little bit to get pregnant with Alyssa. So I was very ready. I also am the type of person who just, I love learning stuff, and particularly if it's something that I really care about, will just, you know, I read books, I listened to podcasts, I listened to heaps of the Australian Birth Stories podcast, which was excellent birth preparation, and have a good support network as well. So the first time around, I wouldn't use the word easy, but our transition was like pretty smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. Had a pretty smooth birth experience. I was part of the midwifery group practice program at the Mercy, which was just beautiful. So, yeah, I remember getting home with Alyssa. And like after, there were a few rough days at the start. Like I remember the first night bringing her home and sitting in our kitchen at like 2 a.m. or something, just bawling my eyes out. Mm. She was crying and I think my milk was coming in, so I was really hormonal.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just being like, I love this little person so much, but I have no idea how to look after her. Like, because she just wanted to be held. She didn't want to be put down.
Mm-hmm.
And like thinking that was going to go on forever, but it didn't. So yeah, apart from a few rough days, it was very smooth. Like we got to the stage where Cam played heaps of Xbox. She slept quite well after about a week. And so it was like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
We'll just like hang out. And then in the months afterwards, like just lying on the floor playing with my baby, marvelling at the fact that I was being paid, like I was on paid maternity leave to stay home and play with my baby. I still think my year of maternity leave with Alyssa was the best year of my life. And I don't know if it will ever be topped. Like, not that now's horrible, but it's just,
yeah, it's different.
You know, not as complex. And like now, not just having the second child, but other things in life like COVID and, you know, family stuff. There's lots more complications, whereas that year was like, yeah, just beautiful. And she was such a chilled baby for the most part. If she woke up early, I'd just take her into bed with me and then we'd sleep in. We'd sleep in until like 10 o'clock in the morning and, you know, our mum's group would be catching up at 9 a.m. and I'd be like, oh, we're probably not going to make that. Yeah. Be still. I think they all hated us a bit. Yeah, but it was just the best. Mm. I felt like I was cheating. Like I was cheating at being a parent because everyone talks about, you know, being sleep deprived and stuff. And I was, you know, the most well-rested I've ever been, I think.
That's awesome.
There were hard times and hard nights, like when she would get sick or teething. Teething is the worst system ever. I can have a word to God about that one because it's like, why? Why is it so painful? And anyway.
Yeah.
yeah, so there were hard moments, but overall it was great.
Mm. I resonate with a lot of what you said and really enjoyed as well my first year with him. Other than when you said you could put Alyssa down to sleep, I think I held Parker to sleep for about 8 months. So he really liked being held. About the 8 week mark, I started co-sleeping because he'd just wake up as soon as I'd put him in his bassinet. And that was something that I was like, oh, I don't know if this is the right thing or not, to becoming something I loved and wanted to continue, and then chose to do the second time round as well from the start. But yeah, I'd hold him for his nap. So I'd just relax and watch TV or listen to stuff or read. He would sleep in the pram actually, so we could go out and about. My dog got the most walks he ever got because we'd just go out every day. And we co-owned a cafe at that point and we didn't have a coffee machine at home. So we would get up, walk to the cafe. It was about a half an hour walk there, get a coffee, see people we loved and walk back. And that as well, doing that every day was a beautiful thing. We got a coffee machine though when we sold our part of the cafe, so now I feel like a bit of a stranger because I'm like, I just want my coffee machine first thing in the morning, not to walk. But yeah, it was a much easier adjustment than I thought, and we had been trying to get pregnant for a few years as well, so it was something we were ready for. That was amazing when it happened. Huge answer to prayer. I did go through the midwifery program at the Mercy as well, but I had an emergency cesarean after being induced at 42 weeks and one day, if you've listened to the podcast, you've probably heard me talk about that. But it didn't work. He was not ready to come out, even though the size of him, he was ready.
It was just comfy.
Yeah. But I had an easy recovery. I couldn't have asked for a better emergency cesarean situation. Mm. Like it was a beautiful experience still, and my recovery was really good.
Mm. The only part actually just remembering that was hard was I was pretty determined to breastfeed and did, but she killed my nipples for like a few months actually. And I saw a lactation consultant a couple of times and they were like, everything looks fine. But I remember going back to bed in the night after feeding her, feeling like my nipples were being held to a hot stove.
Oh,
it was so painful. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I don't know, I tried feeding her different positions and that might have helped. But I also think it was just because she got bigger that eventually, made it better. But that was probably the one that was quite hard sometimes. We got there in the end, and she weaned when I was pregnant.
Wow.
We have such similar journeys, but it's because I weaned Parker when I was pregnant. And so it was actually quite difficult because he just still wanted it. But yes, I forgot. I had mastitis maybe 4 or 5 times in those first few months. And that, it's hard. It's really hard. And I'm so grateful I haven't had it at all this time.
That's actually crazy.
Not sure what the difference is.
I never had it the first time around, but this time I've had it once. And it was when we had this awful week where Alyssa went to emergency, vomited everywhere in our bed, and then I got mastitis, and it was not good.
Of course it falls on the week that is awful in every other way.
Zoe was 2 weeks old, so I was still like my milk supply was just nuts. Yeah.
Establishing itself.
Yeah, and like just spraying milk everywhere.
Isn't it a glamorous life?
Wet all the time. I remember with Alyssa was a, they both were quite prolific spewers, but Alyssa particularly. I just remember being damp for months. We were just always damp.
Yeah. I was always had marks on my shirts and I just got like tired of changing.
Yeah,
all the time.
I still do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't bother. It's until it starts to smell and bother me. that's the point of washing.
Yeah. I remember one time I lent a burping cloth to a friend. That was in, like, I had gone out and we had a nappy bag and I lent the burping cloth because she needed it for her baby. And she's like, "Phew," when I handed it to her. And I was like, "I'm sorry, my kids throw up all the time, like all the time. So, they're always going to not smell great."
And I feel like, I don't know if it's someone else's baby, it's more, the smell's a bit more offensive to you. Because, like, it really doesn't bother me until it's quite stale.
I think that's why it was so shocking, too, because I was like, I don't really even notice. But
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're used to it if it's on you every day.
Yeah.
So what was it like then with your second babies? How did you go falling pregnant? And what was the pregnancy and the birth like with Zoe?
I laughed because... we got accidentally pregnant with Zoe. And so it was actually a bizarre experience because the first time, like, it didn't take us that long. It was still within a normal time frame. Mm-hmm. But because I'd really wanted to be pregnant, it felt like forever. Whereas with Zoe, I remember lying on the floor one night being like, man, I feel so tired. This reminds me of being pregnant. I haven't felt this level of fatigue for no good reason since I was pregnant. It's interesting. And then took a test a few days later. And then this stupid test was inconclusive. Like, we had a box of them and I think two out of three, like, there was no control line.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Yeah, yes, to send Cam to your mom. So anyway, so I was pregnant, obviously. So, but then because I wasn't expecting it, it was actually, it took me a bit to adjust and to sort of be okay with the idea, particularly just because Alyssa and I, she was like my best buddy. We just did everything together and I was really, like, upset. Not upset to have another baby, but really grieving the change that would mean for our relationship. Yeah, I think that was the hardest thing for me to adjust to. And then, of course, early pregnancy, like, I just felt horrible, like the fatigue. For me, the biggest thing's always fatigue. Like, I just didn't, no one told me that I'd have this crushing fatigue. I remember with my pregnancy with Alyssa, because I was working with kids on site, sitting in front of preschoolers being like, I feel like I'm going to fall asleep. And like, they're not restful people. They're not relaxing to be around.
Not at all.
So, you don't have grandma's bed there either.
No, it was just insane. So, yeah, so the pregnancy was pretty standard otherwise, but yeah, just always the fatigue hits me. So yeah, fairly standard morning sickness. I got quite nauseous very early to the point where the doctor sent me to get a dating scan and had put on the referral query multiples but didn't tell me that. So when I called the ultrasound people and they said, oh, it says query multiples on here, I was like, what? Thankfully, there was just one, though. I was very relieved. But, yeah, otherwise pregnancy was fairly standard. Having a toddler as well was, you know, as you both know, a bit exhausting, but working from home made a huge difference to me. I actually, to be honest, even having the toddler, I found Zoe's pregnancy in some ways easier because I was working from home, whereas with Alyssa when I was pregnant, I was working 4 days a week on site and I just was so exhausted. And that was still, that is, remains one of the hardest things I've ever found about becoming a parent.
Yeah.
I found that really hard to cope with. But yeah, and then she was born on her due date.
That's incredible. Wow.
Defied the odds.
Yeah.
Completely intervention free this time. With Alyssa, I was induced because my waters broke and I didn't go into labour. But yeah, Zoe came completely naturally and was actually born in her sac.
Wow.
Which annoyingly I didn't get to see because you can't see. And it sort of broke as she came, like as the midwife caught her. Broke.
Amazing.
But it was amazing in some ways, but in other ways I didn't like it because it felt really different. And so I had a bit of a panic at the end where I just didn't realise we were so close to the end because it felt so different to when I gave birth to Alyssa where I could feel her head and it felt like a head, whereas this didn't feel like that. Yeah. It felt really different.
Yeah. Like a balloon.
Yeah, and I was so confused by what was happening that when she actually came out, I was genuinely shocked. I was like, just born? Wow. Yeah, so it was just an interesting exercise in like how your expectations about what it will feel like can influence how you feel about what's happening. She was also born with a hand up against her head, which was annoying because it meant that the midwife was like, oh, you tore probably because of that little snake.
Yeah.
How about for you, Hayley? I feel like a lot of this story you've written yourself.
Yes. So our pregnancy was a surprise as well.
Yeah.
My period was still becoming regular, and I didn't know that that was the first month that it was a normal 28-day cycle. So surprise. But even though I was surprised and I had wanted more time between two babies, so it was Parker was 2 years and 1 month, like to the date that Will was born. And I thought, 2.5 to 3 years would be a little bit more ideal in my mind. I was just so grateful we didn't have to go through the trying stage again. So I was in shock and felt quite similar in my relationship with Parker and it being so beautiful and not being ready yet for that to change. I think, the gratefulness of just getting pregnant outweighed it all, really, when I actually thought about it logically. Pregnancy was pretty straightforward. The hardest bit was weaning Parker in it and getting my head around, do I want a tandem feed or do I not? And then I decided I didn't. And I was educating myself in what that would look like if I did. And then deciding, okay, no, going to wean him. And I think weaning a toddler can be difficult when it's not their will. So that was big. Parker had left our bed before I was pregnant though, so that was helpful. But the week we found out we're pregnant was also the week our first three month lockdown happened. And I had been really tired and I'd said to Mum and Dad, are you guys able to help me a little bit with Parker because I just want to sleep? And then when that got announced, we didn't know it was going to be 3 months. Both Mum and I had the same thought of maybe we should go and stay with them for those few weeks. And Ben was good with that, Mum and Dad, myself. So that was so helpful. And I know not everyone could do that, but meant Ben could get up with Parker in the morning first, although we had literally just moved him to his own room. Like it was also his first week in his own room. And then being at my mum and dad's, he had to be back in the room with us. But it was like, okay, that's okay. So, Ben could get up with him in the mornings. My dad would then take him for a walk and I just got to sleep in quite late. Awesome. So I was really, really fortunate in that. And then, 3 months later, we're like, or maybe 2.5 months later, we're like, we don't know when this lockdown's going to end, but we think we're ready to go home. So we moved back home.
That is awesome that you were able to have that extra support in the early weeks, though. Because, it's a game changer when you have a toddler running around. It's much different to when you can just decide, I'm going to have a nap now. I'm going to lie down and have a nap. And I'm going
to
wake up.
Get home from work and just go to bed.
Do nothing tonight. Sleep in on Saturday morning, but no. Not when you have a toddler running around.
And I have shared this obviously in previous podcasts, but Will was late again, but I did go into labor naturally with the help of a stretch and sweep and lots of acupuncture. But then I was trying for a vaginal birth after a cesarean, but had a cesarean in the end again because he didn't want to come out either. And that 4.5 kilo baby should have been ready to come out. But maybe it was lucky in the end.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So in that adjustment from having one child to two, how did you find that process? How did you find becoming a mum to two children instead of just one toddler?
I feel like I felt like a real parent.
Yeah.
I was no longer cheating the system. The sleep thing is hard in that now I can't just keep going back to bed when Zoe has a nap. This is like, get up. So that's hard in some ways, but I feel like I cope okay with that most of the time. But the hardest thing for me has been just not being able to be in two places at once, like not being able to respond to both their needs at the same time. With Alyssa, if I had to describe my parenting philosophy in a small number of words, one of the top ones would would be responsive, and that I want to be responsive to them. Mm. And when there's two of them crying, you can't. Like, you physically can't be in both places. So that has easily been the hardest thing about it. Mm. And generally, it's just sort of mild chaos all the time.
That's a good way of putting it.
Like, it's not totally out of control all the time. Sometimes it is. But there's just this sense of, it's not peaceful. Mm-hmm. We went and visited a friend who's just had their first newborn baby the other day, and I felt like I'd taken a small hurricane into their into their peaceful space, just with my two. Zoe's crawling now too, and so, like, it's like, okay, don't eat those cords, Alyssa, stop attacking her, please. Yeah, it's just a bit crazy. And, like, I'm quite tired a lot of the time, but I feel like I don't have that much time to notice tired I am, except when it means my patience is a bit thin with toddler behaviour.
Mild chaos. I just really love that. That's a perfect summary of multiple children in general. How about for you, Hayley? So
I felt like I did cheat the system a little bit with Will coming into our lives. I was expecting it to be really difficult and a huge adjustment, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. We had the rough first week or two when he was in NICU and special care.
Yeah.
But after that, it was like, this is, I'm going to use the word easy. And I was like, this is not what I was thinking it was going to be. And that ease lasted for 5 months or so. Like, I really was like, Parker's brilliant and adores his little brother. Will, I could put down to sleep. So that was like, that's a game changer with a toddler. I'm like, okay, I have to get him to sleep, but then I can put him down. And for the first 2 or 3 months, he was sleeping great stretches. So it was like, okay, this is easy. But I feel like it changed at about 5.5, 6 months when he went through one of the leaps, and I don't know what number it was, but when that leap, like Wonder Week leap hit, it was like, okay, this is hard. Like, like, I'm crying each day hard, or we're all crying at the same time. Hard. And I was like, okay, this is what people told me about. I realized, and we're in a lockdown, I was like, I need help though. Like, I need support. And so I had my mother-in-law and my mum help me pretty much each day at some point. And one day I text Ben saying, like, I'm not coping. And he knew that was, like, not good if I text him like that. So he's like, I'll be there soon and I'll pick up Parker and take him to work with me. And I was like, thank you, which that's not normally what I need or normally what he could do, but he could that day. And it was like a good few weeks of like, oh, Parker's just becoming harder work than he was with throwing into himself and toddlerhood, and Will just want to be held the whole time. And what I found difficult this time that I didn't last time was my body has been so much sorer. So I baby wore Parker a lot, but I haven't been able to do that for months with Will because my back will just be in too much pain afterwards.
No.
And for the last 3 months or so, I've been seeing either an osteo, chiro, or physio. I've been rotating through them all pretty much weekly because Will is just heaps heavier than Parker was, and my body's just feeling heaps different. So I've just moved Will into all 12 to 18 month clothes, and he's 7.5 months.
Oh my word.
And
wow, that's insane.
He's wearing clothes that Parker was wearing when he was walking.
Yeah. So is Zoe's the same. Yeah. She's wearing clothes Alyssa was wearing like on her first birthday.
It's like, what? And so I looked it up because I was like, where was Parker at? So he was 11 kilos at one, and Parker, Will's 10.5 at the moment. And and he's not crawling yet. He's just started to sit, which has made a big difference because he didn't love just laying on the ground on his tummy or his back. So I've had him in my arms a lot. And then, now that he can sit, I'm like, okay, this is good. Yeah. Like, I can just feel like I'm not lifting weight constantly.
Such a useful skill for you when your baby learns to sit.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And when he starts crawling, it will be even better.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just like being another 2 years older as well. I don't know. Or not being able to get the same rest as you would just with one.
Yeah, maybe it's a mix.
But that's been interesting. And then in between the last leap and the leap he's in now, I'm like, okay, we're back to like it being mostly, not easy, but it being much more doable. Yeah. And now we're back into a leap that like, oh, and you just not being able to go for a walk when you want to go for a walk because your toddler might not want to do that, or go to someone's house that you're like, that would be really nice to go to, and him not wanting to do that. I'm like, this is the new part of motherhood.
Yeah.
So looking back, what do you think is one of the most special parts of being a mum to two children?
I think the relationship you see developing between them is just adorable.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning, Alyssa was letting Zoe suck on her face. And they were just...
As you do.
They were both just giggling at each other, and it was just so cute. And the way that, like, ever since Zoe started smiling very young, and she always responds to Alyssa, like, you know, she'd walk into the room and Zoe lights up, even as a tiny baby. Mm. So, yeah, that relationship between them. Also just that you love your first so much, and part of you does think, how can I love another baby this much?
Yeah.
I never thought I would think that until I was pregnant with the second child. And then suddenly it was like, what if I don't love them as much? But then you have them and you do. Mm. And it's just that also is amazing that you just... you know, the intense love you have for another child is pretty special as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would agree with all that you just said, but I also love that if I'm not loving my toddler, not loving him, not loving the behaviour of my toddler, I can just cuddle a baby that wants to be cuddled and just like find that peace and love in that moment. That's pretty special.
I used to think I was a patient person. Like, working with preschoolers, parents have, you know, commented to me on multiple occasions, like, oh, you're so patient with them. And then I had my own toddler and that illusion was shattered. It's a very refining experience.
Yes,
oh, my goodness, So you've both already touched on some of this, but what would you say has been the biggest challenge of this season?
Just the learning curve of I'm fairly attached to my sleep. I know most people are, but I feel like I don't do well without enough sleep. Mm-hmm. But I've learned the hard way that I can be okay. Like it will be okay. And just learning to let go of feeling grumpy about not having had enough sleep. Yeah. I feel like I don't know if I'm getting any more sleep than I was, say, 3 months ago, but I feel like I'm better at letting go of the feeling of irritation of having been woken up earlier than I want to be.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the other challenges has been, like, syncing schedules and just it's not necessarily a big challenge, but it's something I've didn't think through that I'd have to work through. Like, even Will started to do some good naps in the morning now, and that's when we have activities most of the time. It's like, oh, what takes priority? Like, I really want to get my toddler out and want to see adults myself, or do I want him to have a 2 hour sleep instead of a 45 minute sleep? So just navigating the different priorities and making it all work together. And like when we stopped Parker's nap and then trying to then get through an afternoon with like an overtired toddler that if he had a nap, then he'd go to bed too late. So it's just, navigating that has been challenging at times. Yeah. And then also asking for help. Some days I'm like, I shouldn't need to ask for help. I shouldn't. And then it's like, actually, no, it's totally okay to ask for help. And I am really fortunate that I have people I can ask to come over and support me, and having them remind me as well that you don't ask us every day, and when you do, like, you need it, so it's okay. And I had a friend recently say to me that she feels bad asking her mum for support because she's like, I chose to have kids, like, and this many kids, and I feel like I shouldn't need to ask my mum. I don't think that's what your mum is probably thinking. Maybe some days, maybe, who knows. But, just getting to the point that's okay to not have the good days and okay to ask for help as well.
Yeah.
So we live with my grandmother. She lives downstairs, we live upstairs, which is amazing. Like, some mornings we go down, put the nappies on, in the wash, and then Alyssa will go and play with grandma for an hour. And I used to have moments where I'd be like, oh, I should just, you know, I should go and get her because I need to learn to just be able to cope. I'm like, why? Mm. Why do I need to learn that? We're not moving imminently.
Yeah.
Like, that's just silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I definitely had to, like, it took ages of talking myself through, no, like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a humbling process, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also I think it is definitely maybe a pride thing a bit. Like, mm-hmm. if other people don't have that help, mm-hmm. yes. I sort of think, well, they cope without it, so I should be able to as well. And it's like, but why should I do that if I don't have to? Like, why put myself in a harder situation than I need to be in?
Exactly.
And also they might not be coping with it and they don't have the help.
Exactly. Excellent point.
Yeah. And we're so much more isolated as mothers and as families these days than we used to be back in the day. You know, the whole phrase takes a village comes from somewhere, and it's we don't have the same kind of regular community input into our parenting. Where as much as we're connected in many ways, we're really isolated in a lot as well. And I think the busyness, it's almost become like this silly expectation or silly, you know, priority that people have put on everyone, but especially women and mothers, to do everything and to handle everything. And it's just, that's actually just not good for us to be putting ourselves in that place and expecting that of ourselves, or continuing to encourage that expectation in other people. So I think that lesson is a huge one, and also a really good reminder to the people that watch you and observe you doing that too, that they can do the same thing. They can ask for help if they need it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for sharing about your journey into double motherhood. I don't know what the phrase is, into motherhood of two kids. This has been beautiful to hear your reflections and what you've learned and what the experience has been like. So thank you so much for joining us to talk about this.
No problem.
And I have to say, I didn't realize our journeys were so similar. We have talked a bit. But like, Jacinta and I have, like, we didn't know each other. Well, we still don't know each other super well, but yeah, I haven't heard some of those details. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, these journeys are really similar.
They really did pan out similarly, didn't they?
Yeah. So we know there are other experiences. Yeah. There definitely are.
I was talking to some friends from Mum's group yesterday, and they both only have one child still. Mm. And they were saying, like, my good friend was saying she's scared of having the second one. She's like, but you found it, you know, really challenging. And I was like, yeah, but please remember that my experience of having the first one was very smooth, whereas she sort of had the opposite experience where she really struggled the first time around. And so, yeah, just acknowledging that I know that not everyone finds their first baby really smooth. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people say that the second one felt easy after the first one. So
yeah, everyone experiences it so differently, and your situation and your family dynamic, so, and everything else plays into the child's personality, that kind of thing. So
the age between your kids, your partner's work situation, if you have a partner,
whether there are any medical issues.
Absolutely.
It's motherhood's such a weird mixture of this really common profound experience that I feel like everyone gets some level of, but then also really different experiences in some ways. It's so interesting.
It is, absolutely, which is why we love hearing the stories of people that come and join us as guests, because like you said earlier, like, this is the benefit of it, is hearing the heart behind people's stories, and every story is unique, and every story is going to have something that's going to encourage somebody in a different place to somebody else. So thank you for being one of those stories. We're going to ask you the questions that we ask all our guests that join us on the podcast. The first one is, looking back at your motherhood journey, what advice would you give yourself?
I don't know how to say this so it doesn't sound like I'm talking myself up a bit. But I feel like I'm pretty happy with how, you know, things aren't perfect by any stretch, but like, I remember with Alyssa particularly, just trying to soak up every moment, because everyone tells you it goes so fast, and it does. And so I never felt like I was trying to rush through it. I was trying to just soak in every moment. I feel like some of the best advice I'd heard, and I still try and remember this particularly for the toddler now, is to always think of your baby or child as having a hard time rather than giving you a hard time.
Oh,
there were
awesome
times when I remember holding Lissa and she wouldn't go to sleep at all. And having that reset of mindset that, okay, she's not out to give me a hard time. Mm. I'm here as the competent adult. I have more skills than she does to support her because she's struggling. It really had a big impact on me to move from feeling like a victim, feeling like I can't do this, this is too hard for me, to feeling like, okay, I'm the support here. I'm here to help her. Mm. If all I can do is hold her while she struggles, that is still a really valuable and important thing, just to be there in the struggle with her. I must admit, I find it much easier to do that for a baby than a toddler. But I'm continually reminding myself, and I see it so clearly, you know, the time she lashes out at Zoe is because she's dysregulated. Like, she's overtired. She's frustrated about something. So I have to, rather than give in to the rage, think, okay, she's struggling. Yeah. I need to help her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, which I wrote just before this, was, like I was talking about before, how I've learned to be better at not having enough sleep. I feel like I'd like to be able to go and tell myself, you'll be okay. Like, you might feel tired, you might feel, you know, frustrated, but you will be okay. And to try and actually embrace dying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, motherhood has been such a profound experience in my faith, in terms of learning to die to myself and learning to trust God with these people that you care so much about, and very quickly, like, from, you know, not falling pregnant when you want to fall pregnant, to then they're born and suddenly you've got this piece of your heart that's outside of yourself. And so learning to be like, God, please look after them, because I can't. Like, and then they get up and run off to the playground, and it's another level of now there's more I can't protect them about. So, and I feel like that's probably just going to continue. So being able to embrace trusting God and dying to my own both fears and desires that I don't want to get out of bed at this time, but that's okay. It's okay for me to be challenged in that way.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't look after yourself and get sleep when you need to and stuff, but more about confronting your own sinfulness. Motherhood is a fantastic opportunity.
Absolutely.
For that.
Yeah.
I don't know who said it or whether it's even been in a podcast yet or just an interview we've done, that they thought they were selfish when they got married, and then when they had kids, they're like, oh, like an even bigger mirror.
Yeah. So our last question for you today, Jacinta, is what is one of your favorite verses or scriptures?
I was thinking a lot about this, and I feel like it's changed a bit over the years, but historically I really like, there's a part of, I think it's in John 6, I can't remember the exact verses, where Jesus has just been talking to a crowd of people and has said some pretty intense things, and a whole lot of people left, a whole lot of the crowd just leave, and Jesus turns around to his disciples and is like, are you guys going to leave too? And one of them says to him, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life, or something like that. And just that phrase, where would we go, really struck me, particularly in times where I've felt doubt, or I've felt like, you know, would life be easier, you know, if I wasn't a Christian? And I just turned, like, I felt like that question has always come up in those times where I've been, but where would I go? Like, where would I find meaning in my life? And you know, I'm convicted that this is the truth. What would I do? How would I, I don't know, how would I understand my world and myself? So yeah, I really love that passage for just addressing those doubts and those feelings.
I love that reminder. I was even just thinking the other day, like, I got in one of those, you know, those mind spaces where you just jump from thing to thing, and I was like, sometimes I feel really held back by being a Christian, like, not held back. If I think logically about it, not really. But when I'm emotional or I'm, you know, stuck on a thing, I just feel held back, or I feel like life is boring, or life doesn't, you know, it's not full of the same excitement. I don't know what it is, but then exactly what you've just said is like a perfect reminder, because potentially that's what it looks like from the outside when I'm feeling emotional. Maybe that's what it looks like, that, you know, loving God and doing what he's asked of us is being held back, and I'm doing quotation marks in the air. But realistically, when you don't have him, what do you have? Like, what, where would you go? Exactly. Mm. That, like, it might look flashy, but there's a deep wellspring or something that just, like, comes with faith and with God that gives you life in a way that nothing else really would, even if it looks flashy and fancy on the outside. So I love that reminder. That's a really good reflection on scripture.
Mm. And it is in some ways harder. Like, Jesus never promises us that life is going to be easy. In fact, he more often promises the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
And so in some ways it's not unreasonable to have those thoughts. But then, yeah, we believe that the value of knowing Jesus is greater than how difficult it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no matter what you're called to give up, which terrifies me. Mm-hmm. It's been a huge journey I've gone on through having children. I remember when Alyssa was born, and it actually was a big catalyst for realizing how much I didn't trust God and being terrified of God asking me to give up something that I don't know how I would cope if something happened to one of them.
Yeah.
And I feel like only like 2.5 years later, I'm finally, not that I'm like, oh, cool, I'm trusting God now, but I feel like I finally made some progress. Mm-hmm. Like, I finally feel like that fear is pulling me towards God and pulling me into relationship with him instead of pushing me away.
Yeah.
Whereas just after Alyssa was born, I remember feeling this chasm of terror that actually became a bit of a like pushed me away from God, because I was like, how can I trust you? Mm. I don't trust that you necessarily love my child as much as I do, which I know is silly because obviously he does.
Yeah, I feel it.
But the love that you feel for this tiny human is so intense that you can't imagine anyone loving more.
Yeah.
So it's nice to finally feel like I'm being pulled into my relationship with God through that rather than away. I'm not saying that I'm good at it at all, because I'm really not.
Well, it's a journey, really, isn't it?
Learning,
Well, thank you again, Hayley and Jacinta. This has been such an uplifting and beautiful and honest conversation. So we just really thank you for being, like Hayley said, a very loyal listener and inputter into the podcast, and also being our guest today.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thank you.
We're so grateful. And until next time, this is our village.
Thank you for joining us today on This Is Our Village. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like, subscribe, and review. And please share it with as many moms as you think might benefit from this community. This is our village, but we'd love it to be your village too.